From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, part of Speak Up Talk Radio's many services, home to the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and our newest book song, where we create a musical masterpiece to highlight your book. I am Pat Rulo, and today our guest is a recent Firebird Book Award winner, Debbie Berlin, and the Firebird winning book is titled The Third Estate, Secrets of the Manor. Debbie is an award-winning author, a U.S. Army veteran and general surgeon with a Bachelor of Science in Biology and writing minor from MIT. A graduate of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, her career in high-pressure environments fuels the pulse-pounding suspense and authentic detail in The Third Estate, Secrets of the Manor. She combines her scientific expertise and love of storytelling to deliver a gripping, intricate thriller that keeps readers on edge. Drafted as the unofficial photographer of her children's sports team, she has been affectionately dubbed the Mamarazzi, and I just love that. Welcome to the network, Debbie.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I just want to call you Mamarazzi. That might be the best thing I've heard in a long time.
One of the senior nights, the girls gave me a poster with that on it.
Oh, that just means so much because they really have great affection and respect for you.
Yeah, a great bunch of kids.
Yeah. Well, you'll hang on to that forever, I'm sure.
I still have it.
Yeah, like I'm sure you will. It's not something you want to get rid of. Well, listen, congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award. I was happy about that to share it with you.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
Yeah, and your book won first place in our Quirky Categories contest for the best book trailer. That was like our inaugural book trailer award. So that's a big one.
I'm very excited about that. I actually made it myself.
Oh, well, then you did a very, very good job.
Well, thank you.
All righty. Let's get rolling. Let's talk about your book. What inspired you to create the character of Sophie Allard and her journey? Was there any particular experience or stories that influenced her development?
Well, I've been thinking about the story for a long time and formulated it in my head. And Sophie's a compilation of many different people put together. And she kind of, she almost tries too hard sometimes. And so it's not really based on one specific person, but different aspects of different people and motivations. I have a mug that my family gave me for Christmas that says, don't make me angry or you'll end up in my book.
There you go.
But it's not like that at all. How I choose my characters has to do with a little bit from this person, a little bit from this person, a little bit from that. Just kind of, I really watch my environment and certain things hit me and go, well, that would make a good character, or that would make, you know, an interesting quirk for a character. Mm-hmm. And so I make a mental note of that and try to include it.
By the time you get done writing, I've heard this from so many people, by the time they get done writing their books or series, boy, those characters are like part of the family.
Well, you know, it's fun to watch them grow. You know, how they started in the beginning and how they change at the end. You know, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. You know, depends on how things go. But to watch them go from the beginning to the end is quite the journey, I think. And it's fun. It's fun to watch them.
It is fun. I had a gentleman I interviewed once, and he said his children and his wife were so part of the writing process that they became so involved with the characters that one night when he came home for dinner, they actually had set the table with empty seats for his characters.
Oh, that's funny. How fun.
I know. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, maybe give us a peek into the book. Give us an idea of what our listeners can expect when they pick up a copy of your book.
So it's a mystery thriller suspense book about Sophie. She's the main character. And Sophie is adopted, and her adopted father ignores her. And she thinks that the reason is her adopted mother died when she was young. And she thinks that he sees her as a burden, that the wife wanted her, but he never did. So she spends her whole life just trying to get his attention, trying to make him proud, being the best at whatever she could be the best at. And there's a part of the book where, she's talking to another character and they pick up a race car trophy and she takes it out of his hands and puts it back on the shelf. And then he talks about her being a junior master chef. So she's very wide ranging in what she tries to do. And she likes to win, not big fan of losing, and thinks that if she can just get his attention, then maybe, you know, he'll love her. And that's what she strives for the entire book. And then a main driving theme of the book is that one single decision you can make will change everything. And so you can walk the straight and narrow, do everything right, make every right decision, and then one moment in time, everything can change. And so she is just about to graduate, and she's one flight away from graduating first in her class and winning the cup. And in her mind, that's what it's going to take to make, she calls him the professor, proud. And then right at the time, another cadet gets into trouble. And so she disobeys an order to save the other cadet. And in that moment in time, the commander is telling her that if she does this, she'll get expelled. So she has this is right in the beginning of the book, and she has this moral dilemma. Does she do what she thinks is right? But she knows that could result in everything she's worked for this point, you know, being for naught, because one moment in time can change everything. And so she makes her decision according to her moral compass, and then everything that follows from that. That's kind of one of the first pivotal things, is that she realizes that there are things that are more important. And that's her first kind of clue that she has to really start making some very hard decisions. And so that's a main part of the book, is that, you know, you can do the everything the right way, walk the straight and narrow, and one moment in time, everything can change. Mm-hmm. The other main driving part of the book is that, you know, do the people who are in charge, are they really in charge? Or is somebody whispering in their ear, leading them to a different way, influencing them in some way to get what they want instead of the person in charge, what they actually want to do? And so that's another kind of underlying theme of the book. You know, you always have to worry, you have to wonder, you know, who's on whose side, and, you know, who's manipulating you, and who really wants you to do, you know, the good, the what's best. So that's a big undercurrent in the book too, because as the characters come, you have to wonder if they have alternative motives with what they're doing. Mm. And then the third part of the book is that, have you ever had a friend who you have a discussion with them and they tell you three facts? And yes, the three facts are completely correct, but the actual, you know, reality of it are there are 10 facts. And so if they had three different facts, then they would have a completely different opinion about what is right and what is wrong. Mm. And so these characters, they have a certain set of facts that are true, but they're not the whole story. And if they had the whole story and the big picture, then they would make completely different decisions. But instead, they hold on to their set of facts. They're true, but they're not the whole story. And so if you don't have the whole picture, do you really making the best decision? And so a lot of these characters hold on to their set of facts and they just make some terrible decisions because of it.
And this is all so relatable. I mean, we can relate to all of those three things that you said, trying to make the best decision, you make the wrong one and it changes the whole trajectory, and knowing if the person that you're dealing with is true or even knows that what they're saying is true. And then, as you said, that's really interesting to think about, that somebody gives you three sets of facts, but there's three times that many sets of facts. And if they had given you the other ones, we'd all have a different outcome. And as you're saying all this, I'm thinking your background had to have seriously played into all of this, in the Army and a general surgeon. And I'm sure you saw lots of this all combined within all of your experiences.
Well, you see that to a different extent with the people that you deal with. So sometimes you're speaking to people and you're wondering what their motivation is. Mm-hmm. And other times you're wondering where their alliances lie. Mm-hmm. And you hope that you're all, you know, share the same goal and, you know, want to get to the same place. But then my mind, you always have to wonder, huh, are they really telling me everything?
Yep.
Or are they only telling me what they want to tell me?
Yep. And so you talk about, Sophie, obviously this character of yours had to grow and change throughout the story as she faced significant challenges. Just from a writing standpoint, how do you approach character growth, particularly in a fast-paced thriller such as yours?
Well, I am definitely a plotter. I am not a pantser at all. And so I have the book plotted out, you know, from the beginning to the end. In fact, I actually wrote the book in about 2 hours. It was only 5 pages, but the story was there because I have been thinking about it for such a long time. And then I broke it out into signposts. So signposts I got from, there's this thing called the Great Courses. Now I'm not a representative of them. I don't get paid by them or anything, but they're fabulous. They have online courses for just about anything, photography, writing. And I came across how to write best-selling fiction. And their instructor talks about signposts and that every book, movie, story has these signposts in the three-act system where if you just write from signpost to signpost to signpost, you never get writer's block. And so when I outlined the story, I outlined my signposts. And when I wrote from signpost to signpost, I could see her changing as they went on by the conflicts of what she faced and how she had to reassess how she thought and what she did. So in the beginning, you know, she goes through the book. One of her quirks is she talks a lot, and it's because she grew up alone. And so her social skills are a little tiny off in the sense that she talks when she thinks, she talks out loud when she thinks. And so it's kind of a quirk that upsets certain people in the book. And then in the beginning of the book, you know, people are like, oh, you talk too much, you talk too much. And then at the end, when the commander asks her to explain herself, she knows that if she explains herself, it could hurt somebody else. So she just keeps quiet. Mm. And the line at the end says something like, many people have told me that I talk too much. And so this would be a good time, you know, to keep my mouth shut. Mm. And so that's kind of how she grows. She's more aware of herself. She tries to control that a little better.
The signpost, that's fascinating. What did you say the name of the course was?
Well, the name of the company is called the Great Courses.
Okay.
I think they changed their name to like Wondrum or something, but I always knew it as the Great Courses. Mm. And they have all kinds of different things that you can, you know, from like travel, photography, you know, all kinds of different things like that. And so when I really wanted to sit down and start writing this book, I wanted to refresh in writing. And so I had a course, how to write great selling fiction, or I'm trying to find it exactly, the name of it. But they talk about writing from signpost to signpost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called How to Write Best-Selling Fiction is the name of the course. Mm-hmm. And the signposts are broken up by the three-act play structure. And it talks about certain signposts. They talk about doors of no return and things like that. And that you have to push your characters through these doors so that they have no other option but to keep going forward, that they can't go back. Mm-hmm. And so what, I mean, it was just such a fabulous course and I got so much out of it. And I drive 20 minutes to work and 20 minutes back. And so I listen to these courses during the day. I just, you know, listen to half a course on my way to work and half a course back on all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. And so that really, it really helped my writing a lot.
Oh, I can tell. Your novel also touches on themes of espionage and shadowy organizations. How did you go about developing the world of the Third Estate and its role in the narrative? Because that's almost like a character.
So I didn't want to, this is going to be a series, and this is obviously the introduction to the series. And I want to write each book as a standalone novel where you could just pick up the book and know what's going on without having to read the first book or the last book. But this is the first one. So this one, I really am trying to set the seed of the Third Estate, because this was really kind of Sophie's story about where she's starting off from and where she's going to. But there's three factions that are all fighting against each other. So there's the military interest in the professor's research. There's the assassins The first chapter really starts the ball rolling in the sense that everything that happens in that chapter is the reason the whole rest of the book plays out. Why people make the decisions they make and kind of seals the fate in certain sub, you know, sections without trying to give it away. And then there's the Third Estate. Now, the Third Estate is this, you know, the deep state. There are other ways to describe it, but they work behind the scenes, and they can be anybody from the pool boy to the president. And they work, you know, because they think that they're doing the right thing, but who's controlling them? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's always that theme of, you know, you think you're doing the right thing, but you're absolutely doing the wrong thing. And there's a lot of that going on, trying to figure out, you know, like, who is a Third Estate member, who is not, and who's really controlling, you know, who is the Oz behind the scene. And this is only the first book. And I'll give you a little spoiler for the second book. You know, each book will have a bigger and badder baddie from the Third Estate. Yeah, so each book will be, you know, the person you, okay, so you think the Third Estate person in the first book is bad, wait till you see the second book, or wait till you see the third book, because each one gets worse than the one before.
You're really setting yourself up for some work here. So three books?
Well, at least, you know, I'll just keep writing till I have no more stories. But, you know, I'm not ready to quit my day job yet. So I write for fun. You know, this is what I do in my spare time, and I enjoy it. And then it was just chapter after chapter, and then all of a sudden I had a book, and I thought, wow, I wrote a book. This is pretty cool. But I'm the kind of person where good is not good enough. So I'm like, well, I'm going to make this better. So I had a bunch of, I hired a bunch of developmental editors, you know, to try to fix whatever storyline holes and things like that. And then I had a copy editor, then I had a proofreader, and then I had a cover designer, and then I had a product. And I'm like, oh, look, I wrote a book. How cool is that? And then I'm like, well, I want to get it published. And so I spent about a year trying to get an agent, but that is a super hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I had almost, you know, literally no success. I had one agent write me back like a whole letter, which I thought was super nice. And she's like, this has potential, but you're not there yet. Think about the following things and change it, you know, and then you would have a better product. And I thought, wow, this lady, you know, took time out of her day to help me out, and I'm a nobody. And I thought that was just super amazing. And I really took what she told me, and it really did help the story become a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know what? A lot of people self-publish. So, you know, I really want this to be a published book. It's been a goal of mine for a long time. So then I did some research into that. And so I went with Outskirts Press. Now, what they do is that you pay them a fee and they format and distribute your book. Because what do I know about formatting and distributing books? Nothing. So this really is my first rodeo, and I'm kind of learning as I go every day. You know, I try to learn a little bit more about the process and how things work. And so Outskirts Press really helped me out by helping me format it, and then they helped me distribute it. And now, you know, it's all up to me to make this book a success or not. And so I'm, you know, learning about marketing and advertising. And again, you know, this is a whole nother part of the world I know nothing about. So every day, you know, I try to learn a little bit more. I try to do a little bit more research, you know, and go from there, because this is, again, something I do in my spare time, and I really enjoy doing it, and I have a lot of fun with it. And I just want to see how far it can take me.
Oh my, I love all of that. I love an organic growth, you know, where it just starts off from a little seed and you find your way and you find the people that can help you and you accept the help when you can. And by your second and third books, they're going to go a whole lot smoother just because you know the process.
It's funny, you learn a lot. Like, for example, when it came down to I wrote this book over the course of a year, you know, write it, put it away, write it, put it away, write it. And then when I got to the great reveal of why the smoke was a certain color or why something smelled a certain way, I did not know the answer. No, I was like, no. I knew the answer 9 months ago, but I do not know the answer now. So I had to go back to all the research that I had done in the beginning and write, oh, that's right, that's why it's pink. Oh, that's right, that's why it smells like fish. Oh, that's right, that's why this happened. And so then when I went to write, you know, the reasons for those things, I was like, that's right. I'm like thinking, boy, I really did a good job researching this, because there are all the answers right there. So in this book, in the next book, I'll know, you know, to write the answers down while I leave the clues in the beginning so that I can, you know, address them at the end.
Oh, and, my gosh. Yeah, you didn't know that in the beginning. And I would have. Right? Yeah.
So you just learn. It's a learning experience. But the other fun thing, too, was I got to the end of the book and I needed a character to call Sophie out on something. And I thought, I don't have that character. There's no character that can to bring to light what I need to. So what I had to do was create an entirely different character and go back into the beginning of the book and pepper this character into scenes. It's a minor character, but a good one. And pepper this character back into scenes where it would make sense, that when the final time came to call her out on something, that character would be there to do it. Oh. So that was kind of a learning experience too.
Oh my gosh, that's like undoing something and then redoing it. And a lot of work to take a brand new character and use, as you say.
Yeah, so I have to go back and figure out which scenes would this character be in and how can I make it, you know, organic, that this character should be in these scenes and that they interact with these people. And the time it comes for that character to actually say something and do something, they're there for that reason. So that was kind of fun.
Right. And you wouldn't have known that at the beginning. So,
these signposts are great, but they're guidelines. Uh-huh. And so things change. Like, for example, in a very early edition of the book, I had a friend of mine read it. And my friend said to me, well, she needs to save herself. You know, she can't be the damsel in distress and the cavalry can't come over the hill. So you have to come up with a way where she saves herself. And I thought, wow, what great advice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's spectacular advice, because the way it was written, she has help along the way and she's definitely going to need some help, you know, to save herself right at the end when it really counts. But at the end, she does save herself. And I'm thinking, what is it that she has in her arsenal that she can save herself with? Mm-hmm. And so I took that and changed it. And so it made that scene so much stronger, because she does save herself. And you know, that's, she saves herself with one of the things that she's good at.
Well, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun with this, and that's what it's all about. I'm looking.
Well, I really enjoy it. I, like I said, I do this for fun. I do this in my spare time. This is what relaxes me. And it's just so much fun to take these characters and throw them in bad situations and then make the situation worse.
You're a good one. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing. I think you've really given us a little peek into who you are too as a writer, which I think is very valuable, especially since many of the people who listen to our show are writers. So I want to make sure though that we're not missing anything that you might have wanted to highlight or bring up today.
No, I just, you know, I do this for fun. I want to take it as far as I can go. It's quite the learning process, and I'm still learning. I'm trying to surround myself with good people, you know, who can teach me and guide me and mentor in the right direction. And I'm really hoping that this is the first of many great books to come.
I do believe it is. I really do.
Thank you.
I think you're on the right track. Just your whole heart's into it. And you obviously take the time to go back and make corrections. I know so many folks feel like once they've got a finished product, well, gee, I need another character. Let's just pop one in. But you took the time clearly to go back and make sure all of that works. So I think you are headed for good things, Debbie. All right. Well, if you would then share contact information, where can folks find you and where, importantly, can they find copies of your book?
So it's pretty much on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, online. My Facebook page is d.r.berlinauthor. Let's see, my website is drberlinauthor.com.
Okay. All righty. So we are speaking with Debbie Berlin. The title of the book is The Third Estate, Secrets of the Manor. The website is drberlinauthor.com. And we are in store for two or three or who knows how many more books to come. So we're going to keep our eyes on you. Thank you so much for sharing you and so many of your secrets today on writing. I think you shared a lot of good advice for us. And I so appreciate that you shared your book with the Firebird Book Award as well.
Well, thank you for your time and your talent. I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.